up, Redemption? How you doing? Welcome to tournament season. Yes, that's right. Tournament season is well underway now as we have had our first two state tournaments. So we're excited to share some results from those with you, along with some other tournaments. Also, debuting the latest edition of the Power Rankings. We'll be doing that. We also had plans to have a conversation and talk about some lost soul impacts on the current metagame, but we had to table that. As you can tell from the title, Lost Souls and Lost Communication. Brad was having some issues with his internet, so he had to drop in the middle of the podcast episode here, and I finished it out. We tabled that discussion. We'll bring it to you at a later time, but we do have all those tournament results. We're talking about some new details for Nationals, reviewing the latest spoilers that have come out, including the National Participation promo and the third place promo. So we've got all of that for you, and we'll get right into it. Thanks for being here. All right, guys, welcome back into a brand new episode of the Threshing Floor Podcast. John Hendricks here, as always, with my co-host, Brad. How you doing, sir?
Man, it's a great night because we're recording a podcast.
Yep. Hey, and if I am thinking correctly, what is this? This is maintaining our bi-weekly schedule that we're shooting for. So I guess that means that we're kind of on time.
You can call us consistent. Maybe.
Nah, you don't call us consistent just yet, but it does feel nice to be making a plan and then sticking with it here. And what a great week to be recording a podcast because there's been so much activity within the community. We've got our first couple of state tournaments out of the way. That was Texas State and then Kentucky State, which I actually went to. I mean, we're fully into the tournament season now, and it's so fun to be in Redemption at this time of the year when people are, you know, playing decks and things are becoming more streamlined. People are working on whatever that deck's going to be for Nationals. People are talking about different card interactions that they figured out and things of that nature. There's just a lot of excitement in the air, and it's kind of cool to be a part of it about this time of year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a little jealous because I haven't been to a tournament other than, you know, the online ones. You know. That's going to change here soon, I think.
I hope it changes with Alabama State. Hope you don't. I hope we don't end up not being able to host it. I think that would be cool. Kind of fun to kind of pull you in and get Jeremy down here and maybe get Chris to come down. I think that would be cool. But I do think that it would be kind of crazy for us to be experiencing the week that we are in without saying anything about it. This is a very special week, Brad. Do you know why it's a special week?
Man, this whole week has been centered around this week. I mean, the last few weeks have been centered around this week.
Yeah, there you go.
It is a special week.
It is a very special week. And this is the week leading up to Easter Sunday, obviously celebrating the resurrection, which is kind of cool that all of this week and all of the things within this week has a lot of cards in Redemption now after GOC. It's kind of cool that's there. You get to see the story arc of Jesus through the set of Gospel of Christ, which I know a lot of people talk about the Gospel of Christ set being an overpowered set and what it's done for the gameplay of Redemption. But I think what it's done for the thematic involvement of the scripture in the card game and telling the story of Jesus through the expansion set of Gospel of Christ, I think is wonderful. And I think it's really cool that to see when it intersects, like right now we're having, you know, the week that we're having leading up to Easter and going through what happened at this, starting with Palm Sunday and all the, you know, what happened each day of the week leading up to it. That's kind of cool to be able to then turn and see it in the card games that we play. I will say that there was a lot of resurrection at the Kentucky State tournament that I went to. So I just would like to say that I am thankful for GOC and what it does for the game outside of, you know, telling, you know, people saying Matthew's broken and all of that. So there is still some good underlying in the themes of GOC, which is really cool to have as we lead into Easter Sunday. Now, as far as the tournament that I went to, I think we could take some time and talk about Kentucky State Tournament, because I don't know if you guys heard from Brian Jones about hosting it, but he was trying to get as many people to Kentucky State. He wanted it to be like a mini nationals. And I think he pretty well succeeded in that regard. I think we ended up with some last-minute cancellations, and we ended up at 36 people that played at least one category at the tournament, which was really awesome. Brian was a wonderful host, great facilities there at Oakdale. And I think that you were asking me how I liked it before we got on to record, or as we were getting on to record. And I've honestly, one of the coolest tournaments I've been to. And I think it was really cool to, Brian was really recruiting people to come out, like basically begging people to come out, trying to get as many people there. But then when you got there, he had planned accommodations for like where you were going to stay and sleep. He had, you know, snacks, drinks available, which if you've ever been to Oakdale, you're going to want some snacks and drinks available because it's in the middle of nowhere. So you have to drive these little crooked roads carved out of mountains to go to anything. So having all that stuff lined up and having, you know, people prepare and bring in lunch and breakfast, that type of thing is definitely a necessity for the limitations of his accommodations being that he's in a secluded area. But being a big guy, it's no secret that I am a big guy. I've gone to tournaments. I've told stories about how the hotel hated fat people at Iowa Nationals because they put me on the second floor when the elevator, no, the third floor, I believe, and the elevator was broken. The air conditioner in our room didn't work, and the shower was really slick. So, like, they were just trying to take me down. Three strikes, I'm out, right?
That's a lot of cards to be toting up those stairs.
That is a lot of cards to be toting up those stairs. And you know I like to take all of my stuff with me. So I definitely had the boxes. But Brian, as soon as we got there, he was like, you want to put your stuff in the room? And I was like, okay. And last time we stayed in a room, and it was like kind of like an apartment style, and it was like a couple of bedrooms and a bunch of people sleeping downstairs, and then you're sharing this one bathroom. So that's the expectation that I had. But when we got there, he walked us up these stairs and showed us. He was like, this is where you'll be staying. It's a small dorm room with bunk beds. I had Keegan with me, so bunk beds made sense. But at tournaments, he likes to elbow me in the ribs, fighting over space on the mattress because he likes to sleep together. So I definitely did that. Not Brian's fault. He did have two beds available. But then if you look in the corner of the room, there's a door. And inside this doorway is the Holy Grail. And that's your own personal bathroom with a shower. And being a big guy, I like to make sure that I don't smell awful as best I can. So I was thankful to have the shower there, and it was really cool to have it on the room and not have to wait for people, because bathroom and shower accommodations at tournaments, they're not usually always the best. So I did enjoy that, and I don't know if everyone had that same treatment where they stayed, but that was cool. And then we were in the gym. The gym was packed out with tables. There was plenty of room to spread out and, you know, claim your table, put your stuff down, and still have all the tables lined up for where we were going to actually play. Because, you know, people are doing that thing that I do at most tournaments where they show up and they're still trying to tweak decks or build a deck before. So I think if you ever get a chance to go to Oakdale and to a tournament with Brian as the host, don't sell yourself short. Don't think about it. Just go. Because it was absolutely wonderful. And having the big tournament field, I think we ended up with 28 type 1 players, and the people that were at Mr. Classic can attest to the students that he has that are really plugged in. They have meta relevant decks. They are playing type 1 competitively, in the sense of like these are decks that will beat people at nationals that these kids are playing. So playing in that field is It's a good test up for getting ready for tournament season and kind of testing something out. So definitely make it if you get a chance to go to a tournament with him. As far as the recent news that we normally do here, Brad and I got to talking last week, and I think this was kind of like, I think you brought it up, Brad, but I think it should be something that we say to the listeners out there that we've gotten ourselves into a habit to where we're going to come on, we're going to tell you about the latest videos and things within the community and stuff like that. And that's something that I enjoyed doing starting out, but I think it's something that we've outgrown to the point to where Redemption with Jaden doesn't need me to tell you about his video. He's going to have people go and watch his video regardless. And these other people are as well. So it's to the point to where there's too much content for us to digest to be able to speak on it with any type of actual knowledge of the content itself. So we're going to kind of pull back from doing that. We will still say, you know, generically that there has been content come out for Rob M Studios, Redemption with Jaden, Tyler Talks, I believe, put one out. And I know Babooney Tim is still putting out videos. I checked earlier and the last video was 11 hours ago, which I have not watched it, clearly. Coming back from Kentucky State and having to jump right into work, and we've got some big visitors coming down for work in the sense that the company that we are a distributor for, so we work as a third-party distributor for a company called EchoStar, which owns HughesNet, Satellite Internet, and also Dish Network. And the high-end people for that company, at least on the equipment side, you know, that we deal with, they are coming to our facilities to view it and, you know, work on cleaning up some practices with the warehousing aspect, where we've complained about them sending too much of product that we don't need, but not getting enough product of what we actually need. All of those things, and we're trying to work on cleaning up some of those processes and communication issues. So they're coming down the first and second, so Monday and Tuesday of next week. So I've got a lot to do to get ready for that, to make sure the place looks as clean and organized as it can. So I haven't really had a lot of time to throw into that since I just got back from the big Kentucky State tournament. And you know, Brad, the warehouse, you've seen it at its worst. It can get a little rough. Now, luckily, we're past the days where it's really bad, but I do have to put some effort into that, and I have not been able to do that. So instead of trying to tell you about stuff that we don't know anything about, we're just going to kind of generically mention that there's content available and let that be it, and the specifics are for you to figure out on your own. I think that's a fair way to do it. And obviously all of this can be tracked by going over to Land of Redemption. Our friends there have all of the recent content from those guys posted. I believe all of those content creators have their information on Land of Redemption. So if you go there, you can kind of get caught up with what it is kind of in a snapshot. But Brad, we've got lots of tournament results. Tournament results are good because what they lead to is a more accurate picture of the Redemption power rankings, where we rank the top 10 players or the top 10 hottest players right now. Not necessarily the players that are, you know, absolutely winning everything. Like, you can come in second, third, all of that. It's not like Ricky Bobby. It's not, if you're not first, you're last. Now, we do value you being first on the power rankings, all of that. But obviously there's going to be certain categories where people do come in within the top three or whatever in placings. All of that will be taken into account when we do power rankings, but it's really nice to be able to share some of the recent tournament results here on the podcast. And I said in the suggestion channel, if you want your wins, you want your placings to count, you need to get your tournament host or someone to give me the results. You can even give me the results if you want. Now, we've got some Texas State tournament results, for example, where I had Jake send me results from the categories that he played. I didn't get results from tournament host, so I don't have anything to go on except for the fact that he shared the results with me. So now those results will be calculated and put into the power rankings. How excited are you for the power rankings this week, Brad?
I mean, this is what I look forward to every 2 weeks. I'm like, let's be Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp, and let's talk about the power rankings.
So what we should do is put Jay Chambers first overall, just to get Brian mad and yep, Justin Allstead, just to fire him up. Because I feel like that's how Stephen A. Smith does it. This is, I'm more into the herd hierarchy. I prefer Colin Cowherd over those guys, but either way,
he's just a one man show though. So you gotta have a duo.
Well, he has the guy sitting on the couch that's part of the show, but not really part of the show. I don't know the role there, but anyway, I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you guys are too. But some people might be upset with the way we did it this week.
There's a little shakeup in the top 10.
There is a shakeup, and again, it comes down to valuing not only your placings but also the people you place against. So if you had a small tournament field versus somebody that had a large tournament field, I mean, that matters. That does matter. I'm excited to do that. So we've got that coming for you. Brad and I also, as part of that kind of larger discussion that we were having about the recent content, when we don't have a guest on the podcast and we're just kind of, you know, going over results, maybe giving power rankings, things like that, we're not really... It's almost like we're telling you about other people's content versus creating our own. Now, obviously, the power rankings are our own content to bring to the community, but it seemed like there was a lot of times where we were doing episodes where there was not really anything that we were creating fresh. We were just kind of going over what everyone else was doing, and we still want to kind of do that, and we want to share, you know, tournament results and things, but we also want to create some of our own content, so... We're actually going to be having a quick little discussion after we do the power rankings this week about lost souls and the impact that they have on the current game. And I kind of had the idea to talk about lost souls because at Kentucky State Tournament, Jeremy was not able to be there all of the day on Saturday. So he didn't play Type 1. He helped judge the first few rounds, but then he had to cut out. And in cutting out, he cut our team in half. So it was just me. And luckily, I had a good partner to fill in with because Keegan stepped up to the plate and played teams with me. He was actually really excited to do it, and it was fun. But what I did is I had actually built a carbon copy of his exact deck that we had built for him. And he was playing Disciples, GOC stuff on offense, and on defense, he was playing his Demon Thieves that he really likes, kind of like the Demon Thieves that Tyler put out on his channel last year. I made an exact copy of that deck for him so I could play against him and he could see the lines of play that I was taking so that he would know how to play his own deck a little bit better and see the way that it plays out. I was doing that in hopes that it would help him perform better at the tournament, which I think he had a better grasp of what to do, but I think GOC has a lot of different variable lines of play. So you can do this or you can do that, you can do this or that, that kind of are difficult for a 10-year-old to grasp without getting a lot of games in. And so he hasn't gotten a ton of games in with his deck yet, but I ended up playing just that exact carbon copy in the tournament. And then when it came to teams, I wanted him to keep his exact deck the same way, so I swapped out the Dominance and Lost Souls. And going through the Lost Souls, I was like, man, this soul's good, this soul's good. Why aren't people playing this soul? Why aren't they playing this soul? And there's just so many cool ways you can impact the game, I think, with soul abilities. And it just got me thinking, and I was like, hey, that'd be something cool to talk about. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. So once we go through these recent tournament results, we are going to spotlight and talk about the national tournament that's coming up. I mean, 128 days away at the time of recording. So that's coming up. And then... we're going to give you the power rankings, and then we're going to talk about some lost souls. So, pretty solid lineup, I think, for the podcast this week. You excited, Brad?
Couldn't be more excited, except for Easter, a.k.a. Resurrection Sunday.
Exactly. But paling in comparison to that, you do have this podcast episode. So, find time in your Holy Week to... we can't compare. After you can't draw the comparison to the resurrection and then the podcast. Like, let's just stop the recording now.
There was no comparison. I was just kind of telling you my order. You know, it was like Resurrection Sunday, excitement. You. But that's way up here, obviously. But then, like, way down here at second. It's kind of like on the power rankings. Just because you're one spot below somebody doesn't mean that you're, like, right next to them. Or Maybe it does. It just kind of depends where you're at.
Okay. Well, we'll start off with these tournament results. I'll hit the first one here. And this is for a district level tournament that was in Moravia, New York. So this was hosted by Mark Valake and his play group there. I forget what they call themselves. I think it's Moravia Redemption Guild or something like that. I don't know. I probably messed up the name, but hey, I'm trying to give you a shout out, Mark, on it. But you let me know if that was right. But he did send over the results, and I appreciate that, Mark. And I'm happy to share them here with you guys. So in Sealed, guess who came in first? Mr. Mark Valake himself. Second was Zach Miller and Rob M. of the famous Rob M. Studios came in third. In Booster Draft, it looks like there was only two participants for Booster Draft. Ben Hull came in first. Mark Valake came in second. Type 1, Ben Hull won. Rob M. came in second. And Luke Hull, which is brother of Ben Hull, came in third. In addition to the results for Type 1, we also were provided some snippets into what each person played that placed there. So Ben Hull played Agro Nativity and Herods. So GOC infused deck there with an aggressive, you know, setup using Nativity and Herods. Rob M. used Daniel and Persians. And then Luke Hull used Red Warriors. Shout out Red Brigade, living to fight another day. Red Warriors. And then Philistines, which I love Philistines, so that's cool seeing them be involved there in the placing. Type 1 ran at the same time as Type 2. So there was two players that played Type 2. That was Mark Valake and Zach Miller. And it went in that order. Mark came in first, Zach Miller second. So, and then in teams, you had the defending national champion, the couple, Mark and Jalissa Valake, who did Soul Hide team decks at Nationals and completely wrecked me and Jeremy, and then went on to win against the rest of the field to claim first place and put us down to second. They had been undefeated since Nationals, but undefeated no more. They were taken down by Ben and Luke Hull, who used modified Type 1 decks. So their same decks from Type 1 modified to fit the team's rules, kind of what me and Keegan did that I mentioned at Kentucky State. And then Mark and Jalissa came in second using Nativity and Antediluvians and Magicians on defense. So they are undefeated no more. So you're saying we got a chance. So me and Jeremy still have a chance. They're not undefeated with some crazy deck this year. And then there was also a tournament in the Pacific Northwest. Do you want to take that one, Brad?
Yes. Our well-known See the Tree, Chad France, hosted a district tournament. And so in Type 1, two-player, it is no surprise. First place, we have Chad France with his Soul Surfer deck. Of course, he actually showed the Soul Surfer deck that won the Grand Prix. So it was pretty cool getting an inside look on that. And it's no surprise that he won Type 1, because with that deck, most tournaments he shows up to, you might want to bet on that deck. It's pretty good. So he got first. In second place is Timothy Sarnecki with Black Widow, which I'm not sure what Black Widow is. But
it's a deck that Chad built last year for him for Nationals. And it's actually on Land of Redemption now as well. I think after Nationals, he posted it. So
I don't remember what it's all about, but I remember when it came out and reading about it. So I have to go back, you know, getting old, no fun. So Black Widow came in second. And then we have Titus Welch, Old Testament and New Testament Angels and Splash Magicians. This is a fourth grader.
Not to mention, he's a fourth grader.
Yeah.
He is a fourth grader.
Third place.
That came in third place. That's pretty good.
My daughter's in third grade, and I couldn't imagine her picking up a deck of redemption cards and doing that well. So congrats to that. Moving on to Booster, Chad France, first place. Aiden Reisenberger, Ryzen Bigler, second place. And Alan Gonzalez, congrats, guys, on the Booster. I'm sure that was pretty fun as well. And then type two, eight. I don't like saying this. I don't like butchering people's last names, but that's what we do on this podcast. So that's what's
Aiden, Aiden Reisenbigler is right. I Googled the pronunciation earlier, but I knew I would still struggle with it. That's why I let you go second. Yes, I am that dude.
I know. I was looking at this outline. I was like, how do you say this? How do you say this? So they're like, do I know all these names? Well, just get used to this name because apparently he's going to be on this list.
If you want to learn how to mispronounce names, you definitely come to the podcast.
Reisenbigler. Maybe Reisenbigler is rising to the occasion of a top 10. You never know. We will find out later.
He placed in two different categories.
Yeah, pretty good. Alan Gonzalez, number two. Alexander Goad, number three. Congrats, Pacific Northwest, on your district tournament.
Yes. So that takes us to the Texas State Tournament. And I believe that both of these district tournaments and the Texas State Tournament were not this past weekend when Kentucky State was, but the weekend on our off week when we didn't record a podcast episode. The weekend between podcast episodes. You know what I'm trying to say and butchering it. We don't just butcher names around here. We butcher outlines and all kinds of things. But anyway, the Texas State Tournament, and I will say that again, I mentioned this at the top, that these results were shared to me by Jake, who is Ager the Wise, Jake Antoinette, and I don't have full results. I don't. I have him trying to make sure that he got credit for what he did. And I will say that he was open and honest about the fact that they had low turnout for the Texas State Tournament. The dates obviously didn't work well for everyone to be there and take part in it. There was a smaller field than expected, but you have to, obviously we can balance that and think about how that impacts when we do the power rankings later, but you can't blame him for showing up and just winning. And winning is what he did. Now, Sealed Deck, he didn't win that. He did let me know that Joe Schaefer took the flag there and got first place. But he said he got him back by winning Booster Draft and sneaking the win away from him in the final round, even though Joe had the better built deck and drafted better. But Jake is the one that got first place, so we got to give him credit there. And then he also won Type 1, and he won Type 2. So I maybe not the greatest field to compare, but we can't fault you for showing up and winning. Just win, baby. That's what Al Davis said.
You know, our tournaments are usually not a whole lot of people, but we don't see a whole lot of wins on our end.
Right. Yeah, we don't have a lot of people, and we still don't get many wins because Jeremy's involved.
Jeremy takes all the wins in Alabama. So
yeah. And I guess I will share the Kentucky State results here since I was there and got to see most of this action. But Sealed Deck, that's a limited category, Brad. That means that it's one of those categories where you don't show up with your own constructed deck. Now, who do we know that's really good at these kind of categories? Could it be Booster, Sealed, Jones? And guess who walked away with the win in Sealed? Booster, Jones. So Brian Jones won Sealed Deck. Luke Anderson came in second. I believe that's, I was only shared Luke, and that's the only Luke that I am aware of from Chris's playgroup there. So Luke Anderson and then Chris Fashman in third for Sealed. Sealed was happening at the same time that Teams was, so I wasn't able to exclusively pay attention to it. Booster Draft. Now, this is one where I think it's really cool, and I can tell you that from the experience of Booster Draft, I didn't actually get to play Booster Draft, but I saw people drafting, and I was involved to the point of making sure that Keegan understood cards and whatnot, which was cool that they let me. I don't know if that's technically legal or not, but if I get anybody in trouble, I'm sorry, but I was involved with helping Keegan with Booster Draft at the drafting stage. But anyway, I didn't play. He played. I ended up helping judge that category. But Booster Draft was the first time, I believe, unless I'm not aware of Texas State Tournament making arrangements to do so. I know that Brian had to work with Andy from Your Turn Games, in order to make sure that we could do this, but we ended up drafting all roots infused packs. So every pack had no junk filler and had roots in the back. And so we drafted those cards, and the experience is night and day. Like, we were getting to the end of packs and there was heroes in the last two or three cards, which is not what you normally see. And it's like you had to actually decide not just I'm going to take the hero, but which hero are you going to take throughout the pack? There was also obviously times where it might be better to take an enhancement now because you're seeing heroes so frequently. You can get the hero to match potentially things that you don't normally get to do with booster draft. So that was really cool. But in booster draft, as far as the results go, this was one of the few categories he got to play along with type two, but who we were just talking about, Mr. Jeremy Chambers, he took the win. Jaden Allstead came in second, and then third place was a tie between Kevin and Simon of Brian's playgroup. Type one, who do we know that's good at type one? Jeremy, right? Jeremy was not able to play, so you won't see Jeremy here in the results. But what you will see is that old snake in the grass, Booster Jones, finding a way to win a constructed category right here in a huge tournament field, 28 players. He came in first, running an aggro GOC offense and demons on defense. So that's what he was running. Then in second was one of the kids from his playgroup, Roman Signorello. If you were at Nationals, this was the one student that was able to come with him. And I think he really benefited from being around Nationals and getting to see other players, other decks and things. And he's playing GOC and Herods. I believe it originally was kind of a copy of Nick Marshall's Nats winning deck and has gone through several tweaks and things. But he was able to come in second. And then in third place, I mean, it's been a while since we mentioned this guy in type one placings. That's not a knock. I'm just saying it's been a while, and it's nice to see him kind of reclaim some of that status here with a third place finish. And that is Mr. Tyler Stevens, who is constantly putting out deck lists and things. And even though he's always putting these deck lists out, he mentioned that he built this deck early in the morning before the category and was sleep deprived playing it and still won, playing a 57 card defensive heavy deck featuring Philistines on defense. I hate to say it, but yes, he did beat me. Although I do think it ended up being a time win versus a full win. But the deck was it was pretty fun to watch, seeing someone play that kind of outlier style and still do really well with it. So congrats to those guys. In type two, these people are crazy because they stayed up. So we got booster done at, like, I don't know, what felt like 1 o'clock. These guys ended up playing type two after that. And type two ended up with Jaden Allstead coming in first. So he got the edge here over two-time defending national champ Jeremy Chambers. And Tyler Stevens came in third as well in type two. In teams, in first was Liu and Simon, which, and then in second was Sean Severs from Chris's playgroup in Tennessee and Knoxville, and then Brandon, his friend there. And in third place was Seth Bennett and Kevin McCaskill. So that is how teams finished. I did not get a top three finish with Keegan, unfortunately. I really thought we might have a shot at it, but we ended up having a rough matchup in our last one. So I will say that teams was played without the intro prep. And I believe that intro prep being away from it makes it play like a more straightforward game than I even anticipated, to where it seems like decks that are able to set up fast are going to be valued because they can accumulate those resources and then create a resource disparity, kind of like what you see in type one, where you want to go first, you want to build the big resources versus everyone being able to accumulate some type of resource before the first turn is taken with the intro prep. So that's what I've noticed through those. I mean, I only played three games, but it did seem like it plays a little bit in that regard to where you want to be able to accumulate resources much faster than your opponent. So using aggressive setup offenses usually is how that's done. So maybe we'll see that throughout the tournament season, kind of pull it in that direction. Who knows? I guess it'll be fun to see how it develops since they've taken the intro prep out for the season, how other people's experience go. Now, that brings us to the 2024 National Tournament. I know this is a sore subject for you, Brad, because you said you most likely are not going to be able to go. You might have told me you are absolutely not going to be able to go, but I'm always going to hold out that 1% of hope.
Yeah, I think initially I was at 3%. I think I'm down to 1. So
yeah. We're still at 1%, though. So you're 1%. Saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
But I mentioned National Tournament is 128 days away at the time of recording here. And we've had a ton of information come out in the past week about it. I don't know how much of this was on the original post. I don't recall it being this detailed, the original post. I believe there was a bunch of to-be-determined information here, but I'll just go over all of this information. This might be more information than you want to know, but I want to make sure that I do put it out here on the podcast for people that maybe aren't aware, or maybe it's just easier for you to take this information in this medium and think about, you know, Nationals and what your plans might be regarding that. Because if you have not made plans to go to Nationals, have not started working on where you're going to be rooming or staying, lodging, if you haven't worried about your travel to getting there, you need to start making those plans, because I'm telling you, the days are going to sneak by, especially as we've gotten into tournament season. Tournaments are going to start coming in and people are going to have all these results happening. And before you know it, regionals will be happening, and then we'll be past the regional stage to where it's like in a few weeks there's Nationals. And so you want to make plans farther out so that you don't have to scramble as it gets closer. Now, the location for Nationals is going to be at Allendale Baptist Church in Allendale, Michigan. This is Ron Sias's church, and they are allowing him to use the facilities there to host. And co-hosting with him for Nationals is going to be Jay Chambers. We already kind of knew that. He's the one that's been sharing the specific information, but there has been some back and forth communication that has to happen between Ron, Jay, the elders, the church, things to get some of these finer details hammered out. So I know that some of the information was slow coming in the time since this post was made back in January. So just understand that there has been a lot of things happening on the back end that people don't necessarily see in order to make this happen. But tournament's going to be in Allendale, like I mentioned. The schedule is going to be Thursday, and that's going to be the 1st of August. It's going to be booster draft and Type 2 two-player running concurrently. Doors will open at 7 a.m., and deck check will be from 7 to 8:45 a.m. and play beginning promptly at 9 a.m. So these times are things that you're probably not going to take and remember specifically. But I will say that booster draft has a cost of $25, so know that. And then booster draft will consist of 6 packs of rotation sets with roots, and the sets are to be announced. And now this is something that I believe is new information. Booster draft, winner gets to create a card. So this is one of the categories that will allow the winner to create a card. And we didn't have that last year, but they are bringing it back, and it looks like they are going back to the format of choosing a couple of categories to be the ones that create a card. So on Friday, that's the marquee day of the tournament. This would be August 2nd, and it's going to be Type 1 two-player. Again, doors open 7 a.m., deck check from 7 to 8:45 a.m. So there's a ton of time to get deck checked. So don't be the guy waiting to the last minute, or you're gonna hear John Early call your name out, and not in the good way. And then play will begin promptly at 9 a.m. And categories that are open, so that's Type 1 two-player, Type 2 two-player, and teams are all $10. So I mentioned booster draft, $25. those categories will all be 10. So $10 is the cost to play on Friday. On Saturday, that's teams and sealed deck. Teams, again, is $10. Sealed deck is $20. Doors open 7 a.m. Deck check 7 to 8:45 a.m. Play will begin promptly at 9 a.m. So, again, lots of time to get your decks checked for teams, and there will always be one team that's dragging butt, and it's probably going to be me. But there's always one team, so you got an hour and 45 minutes to get deck checked, figure it out. Sealed will use K&L decks, obviously the new starter decks, but there will be three rotation legal packs that will have roots in them. And then teams winners will get the other create a card. So teams and booster draft players will get to create a card. Now we have some rules for the create a card. If you want to go and see those are on the post there. But the cards are going to be the simplified abilities. You got one or two simple abilities, single brigade character enhancement, nothing crazy, no Booster Jones cards, no Faith and no Joshua. So that's what we've got there. Then there was mentioned that there was going to be some lodging accommodation since the church does not have the capacity to host people overnight. So the preferred airport to fly into if you are flying is abbreviated GRR, and it is the Gerald R. Ford International Airport lodging. And this is the preferred lodging is the Sleep Inn and Suites in Allendale, and that's on Becker Drive. Address is all on the post. And then it's $400 for three nights. So that might sound like a lot. You get one person to go with, your cost becomes $200. If you're able to squeeze a third in your room, it goes down even more, so forth, so on. And you can use, they've set this up in Redemption National Tournament is what the rooms are reserved under. So you can go and use those. There's also a KOA campground that you could do tent camping at if you would like that. And as far as food goes, there is a variety of fast food restaurants within 2 minutes of the church. There's a Family Fair grocery store that's walking distance from the church. It's like shares a parking lot. And they have a pretty good hot food bar from what I'm told. So that is an option. And I believe Jay's also working on getting a food truck. Hopefully he'll be able to figure out something there, but it sounds like either way, whether you have a food truck there to make it easier, because I really think that was super easy when it was at Iowa. People just walk out, grab their food, walk back in, eat, done. But either way, it looks like that's going to be taken care of, and then transportation can be arranged to and from the airport as long as you get with Jay and communicate that information. So that is kind of a deep dive onto the specific details that are available for nationals now. So that information is available. If you have other questions that maybe aren't explicitly answered there, then tag Jay. You can ask him. I know that he's doing his best to make those details as easily communicated as possible. But again, there was some hiccups there at the beginning, having a bunch of different moving parts to put together. So bear with him and make sure you make plans to join us for what's being billed as the 30th National Redemption Tournament. Brad, there's 1%. 1%.
1%.
When your phone's on 1%, could you call an emergency call? There's a chance. We're going to maybe Resurrection Sunday in honor of... Never mind. I don't want to compare Redemption and Resurrection Sunday, but maybe your chances will raise from the dead. Maybe. In addition to information about Nationals, we also have gotten some information about the promos at Nationals. And the plan, I believe, is I think Gabe mentioned that they requested for the winter promos to be foil, but the decision whether that actually happens lies with Rob. But right now we know what the participation promo is, and we have found out what third place is. We actually found that out today. So The first one is Guardian of Your Souls. And I think this came out shortly after we recorded the episode last episode. But Guardian of Your Souls and this new one is crazy good. So this one says, place in territory. Okay, easy enough. I'll place it in my territory. And I think that's the thing that balances this card out, because I don't know how many people understand that even though this is a dominant, when it places itself in territory, place, which means that when it's no longer placed, the ability immediately ceases to work because it doesn't go through the phase because it's tied to the place. Similar to a territory class character, its ability is active, and as soon as it leaves the board, it's gone. Woes is actually the same way, and I know that question comes up a lot in tournaments. Is it still negated through the phase if I bounce Woes? And the answer is no, because the ongoing negate from Woes ends as soon as the place ends. So that's your Redemption Rulings 101 for the day. But place in territory, protect lost souls from evil cards and heroes from convert abilities. If an ability targets this card, you may top deck it instead. So all you have to do is target this card and it will top deck itself instead. And that would, because the place is leaving, it would allow you to do whatever and it doesn't go through the phase. So it's worded in a way to balance itself and allow you to find a workaround with it. But protect lost souls from evil cards. Okay, that's what Guardian does. I like that. And then heroes from convert abilities, and that means they can be protected from themselves. So your Matthew can't convert. You must reveal a dominant in order to get your draw. Your David, Heart After God, can't do what it does, Brad. You can't just come in and search for your Angel of the Lord or your Royal Parade. So this card is heavily impactful with a lot of themes in the meta. But again, the way it's worded allows it to be worked around. What do you think about Guardian of Your Souls, Brad?
So yeah, I've heard discussions on this card both ways of, yeah, it's really not that good as people think till playtesting. You know, that's been some of the comments. Or, man, this is like almost an auto-include in pretty much any deck unless you're trying to run soul protection or converting a bunch of characters. But yeah, my Heart After God, it definitely hurts Heart After God pretty bad. You know, I was thinking for like the main person, Matthew, which is the person that comes up the most, kind of like what you mentioned earlier, Matthew can still go through without converting and he's CBI. So all you have to do is have a good dominant in hand, which pretty easy in GOC offense. And then you just never have to convert them. And then at that point, you just have to have some of the purple enhancements, which I guess it limits Authority of Christ a little bit since he's not meek. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be...
That's where your Peter bans to a meek.
Yeah. This is going to be one of them cards that I do think forces people to change up how they play. Or the card, they have to tech for it in a way. Like, you know how this tournament season we've had to tech for a honeypot deck. Like, you have to come into the deck building process saying, if I run up against this, will I be okay? Not maybe like every card has to, you know what I'm saying? Like, every person on defense doesn't have to be, cannot be prevented, or on offense. I'm not saying that, but, you do need to have enough in there to where if you run up against it, you're like, okay, these are a few plays I can make. And I think with Guardian Your Souls is going to be the same. Because what you don't want is to have a soul protection defense, you know, and come into the tournament like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. And then you run up against a bunch of Guardian Your Souls and it's like, well, I couldn't do anything the entire time because all this soul hide or soul protect. But it also... For something like Sheol, a lot of people may stop running that as much, even though it has a really good add to battle, which is big nowadays. We saw how, I think this last Nationals really put Add to Battle over the top. It's not that people didn't know it wasn't good, but it just elevated it even more. And so Sheol will still probably be an option, but I know people are going to take it out of their deck because of this card. There may be another card that you like better other than Sheol because you're not hiding your souls as much. So, yeah, I think this card is, to me, a meta shifter. And you even see that from, I think Chad commented on that with his Soul Surfer deck, where he's like, man, I'm going to have to make some adjustments now because all my people convert for the most part on offense. So, yeah, very interesting.
He did say that, and then I think he kind of walked it back to he thinks he can still make his deck work around it. I think was the latest that I saw him post. Okay. But I definitely think that Guardian of Your Souls, it just being a card that's available, kind of. I think the impact will actually be greater in the deck building phase than it will be in the gameplay phase. Because I think, like you mentioned, if I've got Sheol and I'm mostly using it as an add to battle and every now and then getting to put a soul away, okay. Is all of those benefits, you know, considering that this card exists and I might not get the soul hide part of it, is it still beneficial to run the unity? Or, because, I mean, Sheol's got the unity that you have to maintain in order to get the add to battle. So, is that better than some other add to battle that you can throw in your deck, that type of thing? And I think the fact that it exists will make people, like, if you're a hard-nosed GOC player, you're going to find ways to work around this card. I can already tell you, I'm going to get Reassuring Angels, and I'm going to go to my Matthew or my whoever. He's going to gain Clay Brigade anyway. I'm going to show you the Dominant. I'm going to draw, and then I'm going to play all the purple enhancements and all the clay enhancements that I've always played when I need to play them. I mean, there's ways around it, but I think the fact that there is a deck, and I think Alex Oliar, and he's someone that I've never actually spoken any audible words with. I've just interacted a little bit on Discord and seen kind of the way that he builds decks is kind of like anti-meta stuff. This is a card for that type of player to be able to have a tool in their toolbox that gives them a fighting chance against decks that are coming in and swarming the field with convert, draw two, convert, boom, if blocked from hand, this, all off of one ascension.
Yeah.
It gives them a chance to, okay, you can ban to them, but you're not going to get all of their abilities and things like that. And I think it just, it's more of a governor on convert style offensive decks. So, like, it's not going to stop them completely. It's just going to dial it down just a little bit because they're going to have to, in the deck building phase, work on ways to work around this card. So, they're not going to go 100% all in on the speed of convert to meek anymore. Or at least, I don't foresee that. I foresee them toning it down a little bit in case they run into this and don't have the answer immediately.
Yeah, and for some people, it's definitely going to be like, what do I take out? Which Dominant do I switch this out for? Because it feels like now is the time where it's the hardest to switch out Dominants. There's so many good ones that it's important to have the right ones. This one, if like let's say you're going up against a Wilderness offense and a non-Soulhide defense, which is a lot of the defenses now, this card is not going to do anything. You know, if anything, it may hurt you in your deck more than your opponents. And now that's a Dominant that you drew or searched out it has a potential to not do anything, essentially. So I think whenever I'm thinking of Dominance, I want to make sure that whatever I'm going to use is going to help me in any game. It's my first kind of criteria. Now, if I start getting into tournaments and stuff and start getting beat real bad by Soulhide or Protection or a lot of Convert Heroes, yeah, I would definitely consider the benefit over it. But it is, you know, it's not going to work against every deck. You know, it's not an Angel of the Lord. It's not, you know, a Crowd's Choice, Three Woes. They're going to work, you know.
That is a definite thing to consider. But I also like the fact that if you, like you mentioned, if I go and I get beat by this certain type of deck, just think about Soulhide before this card. Like, what do you have that is really solid against Soulhide besides trying to disrupt whatever pattern they're using to do Soulhiding? Like with the Flood Soulhide last year, Jay was getting all of his souls, then putting them at the bottom of the deck, and then looking at the top, whatever, with his Flood Survivors, and then taking a card, and that was the way he was generating resources without actually ever shuffling his deck to get the souls back on top to be drawn.
Yeah.
So if you could disrupt that, sure, you can do that. But like, this is just a good piece to counter that strategy, and I think that each strategy within the game having a counter piece that targets it exclusively is kind of cool. But then adding on the extra, you know, like protect from convertibilities. And there's even ways to use this card. Like, I know that Jared is super excited about this card because he likes to do Melchizedek to protect Father Abraham from converting so that he draws three but doesn't convert. Well, this fella right here allows you to put a dominant down, so you don't necessarily have to run Melchizedek. I mean, you probably still do in a style of deck like that to have two different options. I mean, so there's, it just opens up kind of like fringe things that people can do with this card that even if like it's not seeing a lot of play initially from meta relevant decks and players, it still has a benefit to some players within the game and gives them something like a tool to their creative thinking. And I'm excited for that part of it. Now, the other promo that we know from Nationals is the third place promo. And third place promo is a lost soul. There's usually a lost soul involved with Nationals getting the full art borderless treatment. And I'm super excited for this one because this is a soul that sees a lot of play. I mean, a lot of play. And it's one that I really like the art style on it, and I think Gabe mentioned that they picked this artwork because it's one person given to two, and the card discards a card to draw two. But Prosperity Lost Soul is going to be the third place promo, potentially in foil. Again, that's up to Rob. They've requested that and sent the request to Rob, so we'll see how that goes. But Prosperity Lost Soul, full art, borderless, National promo. I'm super stoked to add this one to my Nats promo collection. What do you think about this one, Brad?
So I kind of have a different relationship with Prosperity probably than most people. I think I've only played it in like one or two decks just because I don't like the idea of discarding something from my hand basically just to get one extra card. Because you're replacing the card you discard, then you're getting an extra card. So it's like a draw one, but you just had to discard something. And my thing is, like, I don't want to discard anything in my deck. You know, if it's in my deck, I want it. There's a reason for it. But I understand it generates kind of the going through your deck more quickly, which is definitely an advantage. So a lot of the good players play this card, and that's probably why, you know, I should probably learn from them. But as far as it being a promo, I say all that to say, I think the overwhelming majority of very good Redemption players really like the Prosperity Soul. So I'm okay with it being a, you know, like a third place national promo because it is very popular among a lot of good players.
So I guess we'll move on and tell you that if you are going to Nationals, if you want to get your hands on these sweet promos, obviously you get the participation promo just for showing up and playing a category. The potential to get three at Nationals if you play all 3 days. But if you want to get these winter promos, you're going to have to get yourself in ready-to-go tournament shape. Now, that's don't let the fat guy tell you to get in shape, but if you're wanting to work on your deck and fine-tune, one of the best ways to do that is by taking advantage of the unofficial tournaments that we have in the community. One of those being the Lackey Grand Prix, which finished up after we recorded the last episode, and that was with See the Tree, Chad France, prevailing over Aegir the Wise. So that finished with Chad winning, Edgar the Wise in second, and then Flooded Red and Joe Mama would be in third place and fourth place. And I believe based on sole differential, he would end up, Jay would end up over Joe Mama, but I'm not going to tell you what that would finish. But that's how the top four finished for Lackey Grand Prix 14. Number 15 has signups that are open now. And these guys are currently at 27 participants. And I know that you, Brad, signed up. I have not yet signed up, but I am considering it. I want to make sure that I can commit to it because I feel like Justin was talking specifically to me when he was like, I'd rather have smaller numbers than somebody sign up and not be able to get all their games in. And I never intentionally do it. It just kind of, it's happened in the past to where, based on the other person's schedule, my schedule, the days that I was available didn't line up when they were available type of thing. So I'm trying to make sure that I can commit to as long as it's going to run before I do sign up. But there is going to be prize support for this. And I think that's from our friends over at Covenant Games, the sponsor of the podcast, Mr. John Early, donating a box, probably his best box of Angel Wars. But who knows? So they have not said what the box is going to be. There's been some jokes about what it could be. So you never know with Mr. Early. But prize support is going to be given out in the following manner. First place is going to earn 7 packs. 5 packs is going to go to second place. And then third and fourth place is going to get 3 packs each. So if there was a box donated and you add that up, then that is 7 plus 5 is 12. Plus 6 is 18. That leaves 6 more packs. So what are they doing with the 6 packs? Well, if you share your deck list after each round, you will get to go into a drawing. And each of those packs is going to be given away to someone who shares their deck list. So share your deck list after each round. Get a chance to earn extra prize support. So Brad, how excited are you knowing that there's prize support throughout this next Lackey Grand Prix?
That's really cool that something like this is going to have prize support. That's exciting. So we don't know what kind of packs they are yet, right? But hey, packs are packs. So if nothing else, you can use them for booster.
Packs are packs. Mm-hmm. And packs might have roots in them. Running kind of concurrently now, it seems like they've almost synced up. But the Zoom Discord Invitational just wrapped up with the Guardian, Justin Allstead winning Series 17, Babooney Tim coming in second, and Braden, who is son of Derek, the Watchman. I guess he used his screen name to play the games on his account on Discord, but he came in third place. So that's cool to see. And that's with that wrap up, we didn't have that information when we did the power rankings last time, but Justin did reach out shortly after and was like, hey, by the way, not that it matters. I don't know if it would move me into first place, but I did win the Series 17. So he's on it, making sure that we're aware that he won that thing. So we'll make sure to take that into consideration when we do the power rankings in a moment. But Series 18 is also open for signups. And play for that is going to start on the 31st. So by the time you get this episode, you might only have a couple of days. But if you want to sign up, go ahead and sign up. The Lackey Grand Prix, I believe they're planning on starting that one on April 1st. So again, that's why I talk about they kind of synced up. But until that date, I believe you probably could get your name into the ring if you want to. So make sure you reach out for the Lackey Grand Prix. You can go onto their server and sign up. And on the Zoom Discord Invitational, you can go to their server and sign up. Rob M Studios has his server set up for that. So each of those tournaments have their own specific Discord, and you can do that. And then before we get done wrapping up this kind of recent news and notes section, I do want to say that the new expansion set was on display in some variety at Kentucky State Tournament. There was some playtesting going on. There was some recent changes to the set that were being tested. And so we got to see some live playtesting happening there like we did at Classic Weekend. So again, maybe if you get a chance to come to Kentucky State next year, you go ahead and do it so you can find out a little bit about the new set. But those recent changes are being tested now, but they are still on schedule for a Nats release. And then spoilers are expected to start once the set is sent to print. And Tyler has a plan for rolling out the spoilers. So spoiler season is almost firmly upon us. I assume that with the schedule being that they don't feel like they're in jeopardy of missing the timing for Nationals. And I believe I've previously heard that they expect a set to take up to 3 months to print and get ready to distribute. So if it takes 3 months, it's around 90 days. We're at 128 days to Nationals, which means that it should be getting sent to print within the next month and a few days, possibly. That's just with my redneck math, so don't take that to mean anything other than that's just what my opinion might be on the matter, on things that I've heard and trying to piece together that information. It's not official in any way, but that's kind of where I would expect that we are at. But with that, we're ready to crack into your favorite part of the podcast these days, my favorite part of the podcast these days. We're ready for this week's power rankings. That's right. We're ready for this week's power rankings. And I'm really excited about the bit of shakeup here with some state tournaments coming into play. We've got those district tournaments that we told you about, included those in the recent happenings within the community, but also we took into account those tournaments when making our list for this week. So we're ready to start at the bottom and work our way to the top. All right, guys, so breaking news. Going to go ahead and just tell you this. Brad is no longer on the episode. He has dropped. And several different times throughout this recording already, we have had issues with his internet connection. Apparently, his internet did not like the change from Monday night recording to Tuesday night recording. So he's been in and out. It's been really hard to get a solid back and forth conversation going. But at this point, it's been a couple of hours now, all told, with this episode recording. And it's already late just to get it recorded and whatever. I am going to continue and go through and I will give you the power rankings. And unfortunately, the Lost Soul Talk will just kind of table that. And we'll promise that to you sometime down the road. I really did want to talk about that because I found kind of it as a unique discussion point. And I want to start having some discussion points, things that we can bring to the community as kind of our own way to generate content on the episodes that we don't have a special guest. Kind of like when I first started the podcast and me and Brad talked about starter decks and things, like we reviewed some of the community content and things like that, or community discussion that was happening on Discord and the boards. Just lots of things that we did then that we kind of got away from, to where it felt like maybe we were kind of having great episodes when we had guests and then having slightly more tamed and boring potentially episodes when we didn't have guests. And so try to spice that up. That's kind of what led to us wanting to do the power rankings and things, kind of find our way to impact the community with our own content. But unfortunately, Brad has had those connection issues tonight and we're going to not be able to continue recording with him. So you're stuck with just me, and I'm sorry for that. But I do have the power rankings. We were able to talk before recording and hammer out what we agreed on as the power rankings. And that's something that I do want to continue to do with the podcast, is to have me and Brad both agree on the power rankings versus having my list and his list. While I think that that would be cool for us to have our own list and have the variance within that, I think it's a lot more consistent if we come together and we agree on it. And so when I have a difference of opinion than him, I have to explain my side. He explains his side. And then reasonably, we work together to come to what we agree is the current top 10. So with that, we'll get ready to reveal this week's power rankings. All right, so this week's power rankings. And number 10, this man was up pretty high last week compared to where he is now. He's fallen a few spots, but he has still got some cool accolades to him recently. So we felt like he was still in the top 10 and has potential to climb back up in the rankings, especially now with the Zoom tournaments and the Lackey Grand Prix kicking back off. So that is going to be Babooney Tim. Remember, he's doing a video a day for Redemption, so roll over to his channel, check it out. But Babooney Tim is going to be our 10th place on the power rankings. In number 9, this person was maybe a little higher than he should have been last power rankings, but we had hyped him up as one of the first few that we didn't get to put in the initial power rankings, but we were excited about kind of the deck that he was playing and kind of being that against the grain type. But we've got Joe Mama. He finished 2nd in the Lackey Grand Prix. And with that kicking back off, fully expect him to have an opportunity to climb back up this list. Now, I'm super excited about 8th place. 8th place is someone that is new to the list, and it's someone that I have bagged on for a while, saying that he's always talking about what the meta is and things, but he hasn't done a lot of winning within that environment, or doesn't have the results. And it's just, you know, my way of, I have a relationship with him and I like to poke fun at him, but I cannot poke fun this week. I'm having to put Mr. Tyler Stevens here, and he has 8th place. And that's by way of winning or placing 3rd in Type 1 and Type 2 at Kentucky State Tournament. Type 2 was a smaller field, but it was, I mean, the top 3 finishers of that was Jaden, Jeremy, Tyler. 3 prominent figures on the Type 2 circuit at National. And then he came in 3rd in Type 1 in a field of 28 players playing highly competitive decks. So I want to give him the credit there. And in 7th, we've got Mr. Jay Chambers. He was on fire. He's still on fire. He won a district tournament this past week. It was, admittedly, it was a small field. It was only 3 players. But, I mean, all you can do is open the door and invite people in. And then when they get there, beat them. And that's what he did. So Jay Chambers is in the 7th spot. And in the 6th spot is Ager the Wise, Jake Antonets from Texas. Again, I told you guys, like, I didn't get the full results for Texas, but I did have him share with me his finishes, and he definitely wanted to make sure he got credit for that. We're giving him credit for it. Smaller field at Texas State Tournament than they expected and that they're used to, so we have to take that into consideration. So we did that, but he still won where he could. You can't help who shows up to play against you. You just got to show up and be ready to play, sit down and shuffle up, you know? So he came in 2nd in the most recent Lackey Grand Prix. And at Texas State, he followed that up with Type 1, Type 2, and Booster wins. So he came 1st place in all of those categories. In 5th place, this is a man that has been pretty good against solid competition in both the Lackey Grand Prix and the Zoom. And then he also hosted a district. Yep, we're talking about the front man for Land of Redemption, Chad France, See the Tree. He is 5th on the list this week. He won the Lackey Grand Prix after we recorded last week. They got that final in. And he beat Ager the Wise. So these guys, we were really close on which one was where here. But because they had that head-to-head matchup in the Lackey Grand Prix final, we decided to give the edge to Chad. But Chad also got 1st place in Type 1 in his district tournament and also got 1st in Booster. In 4th place, falling 1 spot, is Mr. Jeremy Chambers. And he won Booster Draft at Kentucky State and came in 2nd in Type 2. did not, like I mentioned before, did not get to play in Type 1 because he wasn't able to be there for the full day on Saturday. So he was just there for the first few rounds where he helped judge for Type 1. So we wanted to make sure that he got credit for, obviously, his booster draft win and coming in second in Type 2. But even though Jaden didn't necessarily place Top 3, we gave him the edge over Jeremy this week to move up one spot, create a little flip-flop there in third and fourth. Because Jaden won Type 2, then he came in second in Booster. And see, that's where these guys exchanged wins. So Jeremy won Booster, but came in second in Type 2. Jaden came in second in Booster, but then won Type 2. So what's the difference there? They swapped wins. We put a little bit more weight on the constructed categories, not much. But then also, he was able to play Type 1 and came in fifth in a field of 28 competitive players. So gave him an edge there. Jeremy obviously did not get to play, but we said when we did these rankings that we were going to value people that were playing games and getting games in. So that's the difference there, is getting that fifth place finish in Type 1 after they swapped wins in the two other categories. In second place, Justin Allstead. So you know what that means. No change at the top of the list, but Justin Allstead did, as I mentioned before, win the Zoom Discord Series 17. He's also coming off of that classic invitational Type 1 win in a healthy field of players. A lot of players that were at Kentucky State Tournament. But Brian, being Mr. Jones, Mr. Booster Sealed Jones, the first of his name, he has to be on top because he's Mr. Classic. He was wearing the belt at the tournament. He had it laid out on the table when he wasn't wearing it. It was on full display. And then he won Type 1 and Sealed. So he did enough to maintain and even possibly advance his legacy here atop the rankings for the second time in a row. So that's your top 10. Again, it's Brian Jones in first, Justin Allstead in second, Jaden Allstead in third, Jeremy Chambers fourth, Chad France in fifth, Jacob Antonets in sixth, Jay Chambers in seventh, Tyler Stevens in eighth, Joe Mama in ninth, Joe Andraghetti, I believe. Everybody else, I had the name typed out, and then I had his screen name. And then Tim Estes, Babooney Tim, in 10th. And that's where we are. And our first one out, we'll go ahead and give you that for this week. Our first one out, I believe we kind of settled on being Mark Vallake, who had a couple of category wins at his district tournament. And he's always kind of on the radar right in that range being there. But that's where we settled for this week. Obviously, with the Lackey Grand Prix and the Zoom Discord kicking back off, we're going to have several opportunities for you guys to advance and climb in these rankings if you're here, if you're not and you want to climb in, but also people that aren't participating in those and are not participating in tournament results that we have access to see that have been shared with us. I mean, we can only use the information at our disposal to make these rankings. So pester your tournament host, whatever you got to do to get them to send the results to us. We'll make sure you get credit for it. And looking forward to seeing how the rankings shake out in these 2 weeks until we record again. But as I stated before, without Brad here, we are tabling the discussion on Lost Souls because I don't think it would be as great for me to talk to you about Lost Souls without the back and forth of the conversation element, which I was really looking forward to again, but we will make sure that we bring that to you later on. And hopefully you get enough information out of this podcast to warrant your time listening. As always, we always appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. Any feedback you have, constructive criticisms, anything you want to share, feel free to reach out to us. If there's something you like that we are doing, let us know. If there's something you don't like that we are doing, let us know. Maybe we can fine-tune and make the podcast better for all parties involved, for us on the recording side and bringing it to you, and also you guys listening. But as always, the podcast has been sponsored and brought to you by Covenant Games. So make sure you thank John Early for helping cover some of the hosting fees and things for the podcast, because there's a lot of cost wrapped up into it that people don't expect or actually see when they do a podcast. And I think the fact that we've been able to, been fortunate enough to have help covering those things is why this podcast has, even though it's gone through lulls in recording and things and hiatuses, if you want to use that word, copyrighted by Mr. Tyler Stevens. But even though we've had those things, we've been able to always bounce back and stay in production over time. And part of that is because of the generosity of Covenant Games. So go and show your support there. And I guess with that, we'll catch you on the next episode. Peace. Somebody please pay Brad's internet bill. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Want to thank you guys for listening along as always. And sorry we couldn't bring you the discussion on Lost Souls that we were planning with Brad dropping on the episode. Unfortunately, it's kind of out of our hands with the connection issues, but hopefully we'll have those resolved by the time we record next time. But definitely want to thank you again, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.